Great Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come to you tonight and with grateful hearts. How that these ancient words are still changing us today. Father, I thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your presence here tonight. Thank you for the Holy Spirit tonight. Father, we long and desire. Lord, I think of, for you to do a new thing. I think of the words in Isaiah. Isaiah was referring back to the parting of the Red Sea, and yet it says there that not so even so much remember the former things, but I will do a new thing, you say, Lord. And Lord, I pray tonight that we just somehow that you would do a new thing. Lord, I just thank you for your this message of hope. Lord, I pray right now, Father, I didn't know this was going to happen, but Lord, you have broken my heart in a way that I didn't expect. Lord, right now, I just come before you. Lord, I love to weep in your presence. Love to worship you in the Holy of Holies. Love to worship you in the Spirit. I pray tonight that, Lord, as this message unfolds, that, Lord, you would draw us right into your presence, Lord, and change our hearts, oh God. Lord, if you want to do a new thing in our heart, we say yes, Lord. You want to do something you've never done before, we want to say yes, Lord. You do something that we've not seen before, we want to say yes, Lord. Because, Lord, if it is you, if it is the Holy Spirit, if it is of you, Lord, it'll be done right. And it'll be done in decency and in order. It'll be right because you are holy and you are right. You are the King, you are the Master, you are the Lord. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're everything. You're the Prince of Peace, the Mighty Counselor. You're the Savior of the world. You have brought us from darkness to light. You've put your Spirit within us. You've empowered us to live above the world and sin and the flesh. Father, thank you tonight for your presence. Thank you for your presence here tonight. We honor you, Lord. I thank you for this gathering and that you have allowed us, Lord. I thank you for freedom tonight. I thank you that we don't have to be concerned about soldiers busting through the doors and disrupting this service. But Lord, I know in the spirit world there's an enemy out there, but tonight we give him no credit, but we give credit to the one who has defeated him. And that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shedding his blood, giving his life, going to the cross, being resurrected, and has destroyed the works of the enemy. And there we focus tonight through the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord will help me gather my emotions together in a moment. But I'm grateful for emotions. I really am. Thank God for His Spirit and how He breaks our hearts. Sometimes at moments where you don't expect it. But I'm okay with that. Okay with that. Good to see all of you here tonight. And I know we have one of our board members here tonight, Brother Adley. Good to see you. I'm sorry, Jake. You have a Brother Adley, right? Sorry, Jake Mast and serves on our executive board. Good to see you here tonight. And so grateful for our executive board and what they mean to us and supporting and encouraging and all of that. God bless you all for being here tonight. The subject tonight that I was really trying to discern after last night, do we go in this direction? It's really kind of a continuation of what we've been talking about all week long, really. And we want to continue that here tonight concerning the Holy Spirit. And Lord willing, tomorrow night, then we want to get a little bit more practical in some practical teaching on family life. We hope to talk about family life tomorrow night and things that we have and are learning. We haven't learned everything by no means, but we are looking forward to that if the Lord continues to direct that way. But that's the direction I was getting today. And if the Lord keeps it that way, we'll go with it. If not, we'll change it. But Lord, show us. But tonight, a subject that is probably one of the most misunderstood subjects of all subjects, from no matter what group you are with. You can go from the most, from the most conservative group to the most liberal group and any group in between. Probably the most misunderstood subject of all subjects. It is a subject that I shied away from many years. In my early preaching years, I knew what I believed in it. I knew what I had experienced in it and all of that. But I was scared to preach on it. If I can be really honest, I was afraid to preach on it simply because I was concerned about being misunderstood. But I don't know how many years ago that the Lord released me after a time of just praying and seeking the Lord and being somewhat troubled with what I was seeing in my own heart and in the lives of people who were not embracing the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, why? What is this? Why don't we? Why don't I? Why is it troubling for people to fully embrace? You know, we believe in the Godhead. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in God the Father. We have no problem with God the Father. We have no problem with God the Son. But when it comes to God the Holy Spirit, then sometimes we are a little bit more resistant because, and I'll tell you why, maybe a little bit later. Now, there's the Holy Spirit. I came across these one-liners, and I'm not against structure or having things organized and lined out. I'm very much for that. However, sometimes we become so systematic in our churches where if the Holy Spirit wants to change something, that it's because it's not that way in the bulletin, so we don't do it. Could have at least been one amen, maybe. Oh, you don't have a bulletin. Oh, okay. All right. Well, hallelujah. No. Oh, that's good. I'm not against bulletins. I'm not against structure. You know, we've been to churches where not only the outline of the service, and again, there's nothing wrong with this in and of itself. We understand. But we've been to churches where not only was the order of the service given, but the song titles and the page number that it was in the book. I mean, everything was spelled out and followed right down to the T.
Now there again, the Holy Spirit can move within that. But what if he wants to change something some Sunday morning? Where he wants to change something, what about it? Anyway, I came across this one-liner, and this was a pastor's prayer concerning the Holy Spirit. Lord, do something for us today that is not in the bulletin. That was a pastor's prayer. The Holy Spirit can do more in a minute than we can do ourselves in a lifetime. The Holy Spirit can do more in a minute than we can do ourselves in a lifetime. You know, I marvel at meetings like this and other places where you go and you preach the good news of Jesus Christ, where, you know, there's no way that one individual, one family could come and could meet every need. There's no way that that can happen. But there is one who can. You know, I marvel how night after night where the Holy Spirit can take an unsaved person, right as the preaching of the word is going on, the Holy Spirit can take an unsaved person and draw him right into the kingdom of God. While that is happening, the Holy Spirit can take a backslidden person, one who had drifted away from the things of God, and bring them right back into fellowship with Almighty God. While all of that is happening, the Holy Spirit can take the saint of God who's on fire for God, excited about the things of God, and even minister to that heart all at the same time. That's the Holy Spirit. He knows every need. Every one of us walked through the doors tonight with different needs within our hearts. We're on a journey, every one of us. And we're at a different place in life. We've gone through different stages of life, different trials, different hardships, different good times, different things. The Holy Spirit can take any word that is spoken and can minister it to every heart according to the need thereof. I take much comfort in that. Much comfort in that. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. We want to begin there tonight. And again, we are talking about developing that deep, intimate relationship with the Almighty. Hebrews chapter 5, if you will. Yes, Hebrews 5. The last several verses. Here the Hebrew writer says in verse 12, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, this really is not talking about the Holy Spirit directly. The reason I go here to begin with is the Hebrew writer is giving us the instruction again of going from milk to meat. He's giving that illustration. He is encouraging us to not remain on milk, but to go to the deeper things of God. And one of the reasons that is so important is because of what he says, so that we discern both good and evil. I have learned that the milk Christians, if you will, the milk Christians are usually the critical ones in church. The ones who maybe have not established the closet life, or have not been worshiping behind the veil, or just kind of are getting by with the Christian life. But now the Hebrew writer, he is saying, let's go from milk to meat. And then he is saying, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age or mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Very interesting that the Hebrew writer did not just say that we have need to discern evil or we have need to discern good, but he used both. So what he is really saying is that unless we go from milk to meat, there is a lack of discernment of what's good and evil. Does that describe anything in the church today? There is a lot of confusion out there, would you agree? There is a lack of discerning what's right and what's wrong. There's a lot of confusion going on. Well, and then we compare ourselves among ourselves. We watch that group. We watch this group. If they can do it, it must be right. If they can do it, it must be wrong. Well, whatever the case. And then we become all confused. And it has to do because individuals are not really embracing the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So there is no discernment of what's holy and what's unholy. And the Hebrew writer is telling us, go to the meat. You want to eat meat? Comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, go to Proverbs chapter 29. I'm skipping through this really fast because I want to get to the meat of the matter. Proverbs 29, Proverbs 29, verse 18. Yes, very familiar, the first part of that verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You say, what does that have to do with discerning of good and evil or the Holy Spirit? Well, if you really study that verse, and how do I go from milk to meat? This is really what that verse is saying. Where there is no prophetic vision and or revelation, people cast off restraint. That's really what that verse is saying. Where there is no prophetic vision and or revelation, people cast off restraint. Is that ever where we're living today? People cast, because there's no revelation. How does revelation happen? The only way I understand this word is through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. That's why a non-believer does not understand this word. I remember when I first gave my life to Christ, that one of the first things that I know, I would read the Bible. In fact, I had the Bible open that night I gave my life to Christ. And I would read the Bible. There was nothing coming from this word. Was it this word's fault? It was because the Spirit of God was not yet within this heart to connect and to reveal. And so where there is no revelation, I cast off restraint. I don't understand this word. And so that's why a non-believer does not understand the things of God. But thank God a believer does. Now, I say all that to say, how do we go from milk to meat? How do we discern what is right and wrong, good and evil? The only way, brothers and sisters, and I know you know this, is to completely embrace the Holy Spirit in our life. And that's where we want to go tonight. What happens when we embrace the Holy Spirit? Go to John chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 14. And while you're going there, and before we read that, in the day and age that we're living in, one of the burdens on my heart is this. So many of us Christians are only playing defense in the kingdom of God. I enjoy watching basketball periodically. I don't know that much about it, but I enjoy watching it sometimes. And occasionally, I will go online after a game and I will watch an interview of a player or a coach or something. And not always, but numerous times or sometimes, the coach or the player will say, defense is what won our game tonight. Now, we know what they mean by that, because what they're really saying is, our defense tonight was so good, it was so strong that it turned into offense. Even though they don't say that, but that's what they're really meaning. They're meaning that our defense was so good that it turned into offense. That's why there were points on the board. Now, if a team, even though they brag on their defense, if a team only plays defense in a game, would they ever win? I don't know that much about basketball, but I do know this much. That little round orange thing has got to go through that other orange thing about 10 feet off the ground with a net on the bottom in order to put points on the board. I know that much. But if we are only playing defense, like, man, and we are to play defense, we are to defend against the enemy, we are to be aware of the tactics of the enemy. But if all I'm doing is playing defense and never play offense in the kingdom of God, I will probably not live a very productive life. Or in other words, I won't win. And that's where I'm afraid many Christians have become stuck. We're only playing defense, and the world system is coming in and is overtaking, and the Christian is folding up their arms and becoming timid. When we embrace the filling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it will cause the Christian to rise up and play offense where we set the tone. We set the tone. The world has done enough damage, and I'm tired of it. In my own life, I'm like, unless I fully embrace the filling and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And if all I do is play defense, I'll probably be defeated. But God is going to call Christians out where we rise up and embrace that anointing, the filling of the Holy Spirit. You'll hear terms like that tonight because the Bible uses it. Filling of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Boy, when we hear that, what happens in our heart? We will, thank God. John chapter 14, if you're there. John chapter 14, here we get the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit, where the disciples were troubled about Jesus and his departure. Then in verse, let's pick up in verse 26, John 14. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So here we have the promise of the Holy Spirit coming, where Jesus was comforting his disciples and telling them how it's going to be. Now, you say, well, some of these tough questions that we may face, maybe in a one-on-one conversation about the Holy Spirit, probably all of us have had them. You say, well, do I receive the Holy Spirit or don't I receive the Holy Spirit when I give my life to Christ? What is the answer? The answer is yes. So let's go to Acts chapter 1 and prove that. Acts chapter 1. And this is where, or actually Acts chapter 2, sorry. It's Acts chapter 2 where Peter was preaching his first message. And here's what he said. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So there we have the promise. This was based on repentance and being baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So this, in this passage, that's how they received the Holy Spirit. Now, the next question that often comes up is, what happens after this? Something more happen after we have received the Holy Spirit? Now is where I would want to just... Burnell, you want to take my place? But seriously, let's talk about it. What happens after this? You receive the Holy Spirit. It was given based on repentance and baptism in this passage. Does something more happen? Well, let's go next page in my Bible. Go to Acts chapter 4. And we're going to look at this. And here where Peter, again Peter, he was preaching to the Sanhedrin. And then in verse 8, let's pick up there. Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. In fact, before we go on, Matthew 3 is coming to mind. I'll just refer to it. Where John the Baptist was baptizing. Right before Jesus comes on the scene, what did he say? He said, there is one greater than I that is coming, whose shoes I'm not worthy to untie. He shall do what? He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So in that passage, in the King James Version, the word, he shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. So there we have that term. In this term, we have the term used, then Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. As he was preaching there, Peter filled with the Holy Ghost, he said unto them, ye rulers and the people and elders of Israel. And I won't take time to go down through there. The point I want to make in this verse is, are we all agreed together that at this point in Peter's life, that he was filled with the Holy Ghost? Okay, so we're together on that. Now remember, we're leading up to deciding, what does the Bible say? Does it happen again, or does it happen again, or does it happen more than once, or all of that? That's where we're going with this. So in verse 8, it says, Peter filled with the Holy Ghost, right? So we're agreed together. At this point in Peter's life, he's filled with the Holy Ghost. So now let's read on down through there. Let's see. They were performing this miracle there. Verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And then they did this. In fact, that verse reminds me of something. Some years ago, I think it was back in 2008 or 9 or somewhere back in there, we were having tent meetings out in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I remember one afternoon, I was in my little study camper and praying and seeking the Lord for a message that night. My wife comes into the camper, brought me something, a snack or a cup of coffee or something, and we were chatting a little bit. And right, she was just exiting the little camper, and she stopped and said, oh, honey, let me pray for you. And she turned around, and she laid hands on me, and she prayed for me. And in her prayer, she prayed, Lord, I thank you that you use unlearned and ignorant men. You weren't expecting that, were you? That's what she prayed. This verse reminded me of it. And I just lost it. I just laughed. I said, honey, you're right on. You know, I'm right on. She's back there smiling, and we're okay with that, you know. But I knew exactly what she meant. I knew what her heart was, and I knew what she meant. But nevertheless, then these people, they were doing this miracle, and then they were confronted about it. Verse 20, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had heard further, threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. And it was about the miracle on this man. Now, what I'm leading up to is verse 29. The apostles there, when all of this happened to them, they even prayed for more boldness. Now, remember, in verse 8, Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, look what their prayer was. And now, Lord, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold, their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Here's the verse. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And what happened next? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This includes Peter. So you mean he was filled again? He was filled in verse 8. He was filled again in verse 30. Is that what it's saying? Yes, that's what it's saying. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And the result, I see it in this passage. I see it in Paul's life. When the light struck him down, he was blind for 3 days. They came, Ananias came, laid hands on him and prayed for him that he may receive his sight. His blindness left. He ate, he got strong, and straightway he preached Jesus in the synagogues. There's something about the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking with boldness. It's a connection. I see it. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what does it say here? And they spoke the word of God. Let me get it right. They were all filled and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It was, again, we come back to that, coming and not arrogantly. It's not a spirit of arrogance. It's not like, some years ago where we were setting up for tent meetings in a community And on a Saturday afternoon, we were going to start that Sunday night, and my boys and I were in there setting up, and all of a sudden, two gentlemen, they came walking into the tent. I had never met either one of them. I talked to the one on the phone, but I'd never met him. And it was one of those moments, you ever talk to somebody on the phone, and you hear their voice, and mentally you picture what they should look like. But then when you see him, it's completely different. Ever happen? Sure. It was one of those moments. But two of them came walking into the tent, and they kind of had a, just kind of a, I don't know, they kind of walked with a chip on their shoulder a bit, and I didn't know them. And so they come and they introduced the guy that I talked to on the phone. He introduced himself, and I said, oh, good to meet you, brother. Good to put a face to a voice, you know, and like that. And then he introduces his friend who was with him there, and here's how he introduced him. He said, this is so-and-so, and he loves Jesus more than both of us together. I said, good to meet you, brother. I love to meet people like that. And without hesitation, this person who supposedly loved Jesus more than me and this other guy together, he just pops up, he looks at me, he said, what's the Spirit saying? And he was using that tone. He was using that just a harsh, just almost like a, I was like, what is this? And I mean, I didn't say that. It was just like it totally took me back because it was the last thing that I expected. And I just said, well, God gave me grace to respond to him. And I said, well, you're from this community, I'm assuming, and what are you sensing? He said, what are you going to do for baptism? That's how he was talking to me. What are you going to do for baptism? And I said, well, maybe that's where the local church maybe would come in and we rally around these. Why aren't you going to have any converts? Now, I hope we're okay with this. But I'm just going to tell you what happened to me right at that moment. Oh, when we need it the most. Isn't God good? But I felt it from the very top of my white hair sticking up to the very sole of my feet. And it was one of those whoosh, Holy Ghost moments. I don't know how else to describe it. I'm just going to say it how it was. And I knew it was of God. I knew it was of God. Whatever you want to call that, baptism of the Holy Spirit, filling of the Holy Spirit, anointing of the Holy Spirit, but that's what it took at that moment for me not to do to him what he was doing to me. And when that just came, I mean, God just broke my heart and God just, he just melted me right in front of him. And my heart just went out to this man because here we were trying to be zealous in the name of religion. Yeah. No, the Holy Spirit brings a drawing effect. It doesn't bring a condemning, a controlling, an arrogant spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is gentle. If it's confrontational, it's done in love. It's done in the spirit of meekness and humbleness. That's the Holy Spirit. Now remember just looking at him and say, brother, you know what? I can appreciate your zeal. Said, but I'm trying to learn what it is to walk under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And if I sense any other spirit coming against me, I just stand up against it in the name of Jesus. And he said, well, he said, you know what? That's what I believe too. Just want to stop in and bless you. Have a good day. And off they walk. End of conversation. See, when it's the Holy Spirit, you say, well, how do I? And again, we go back to discerning what is good, what is right, and what is wrong. Is it of God or is it not of God? I was asking the Lord some time ago. I would hear of these movements. I would hear this movement and that movement. And then I would hear, and I was like, Lord, how do I know? How do I know whether this movement is of God? Because not all movements are wrong. How do I know, God, is it of you or is it not? Then one day I was reading, right as I was asking the Lord, and I'll come back to this, but in John 16, if you're not turning there, write it down if you're taking notes, because this has so changed my, or helped me, to understand good or whether it's of God or not. I was reading there about the promise of the Holy Spirit, and then in verse 8, John 16, it said, Jesus said, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness, judgment of sin, because they believe not, of righteousness, because I go to my Father. Ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged, and so on. But verse 13 is really what helped me to understand that. Here's what Jesus said. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself. Or other translations would say, on his own authority. And the Lord, I believe, spoke to me through that verse to say, how do I discern whether a movement is of the Holy Spirit or of a spirit? Big difference. And I came to this conclusion that through any movement, if I hear more about the individual that is leading the movement, then I do the testimony of God or what is happening in the lives of people, it's usually woe unto them. Because the Holy Spirit will absolutely not promote self. It's that simple. The Holy Spirit will not promote self. I remember studying some years ago on false teaching, which is somewhat what we're talking about. But I came to this conclusion that one of the bottom line, and could be others, but one of the bottom line spirits of all false teaching is self-exaltation. People wanting to elevate themselves to the equality of God. Self-exaltation, not of the Holy Spirit. Not of the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to Acts and we'll continue on. Let's see, we were in Acts chapter 2 or 4, were we? Let's go to Acts chapter 8 now, and we want to look at another scenario here. Acts chapter 8, where there was Simon the sorcerer. There was a certain man, Acts chapter 8, verse 9, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city, he used sorcery, and he bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. First red flag. Giving out that himself was some great one. First red flag. And then, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Look at that. They were even saying, they were like, wow, this man is even the great power of God. That's what the people were saying. He was bewitching them. Does that happen today? Yeah. Pow-wowing, browing, all that kind of stuff. Not of God. You know, even though we don't give recognition to the enemy because he's defeated, but I'll say this, he's powerful. He's powerful. And unless we get so familiar with the real, you know, discerning good and evil, or would we all agree that there's a lot of fake stuff out there? So if we agree upon that, the only way, this is a reminder from my own heart, the only way that the fake can exist is I got to understand that the real deal is somewhere. Because the only way that you can have the fake stuff is because the enemy works off of something. He cannot create anything. So he works off of something that God already created. So if we believe that there's fake stuff out there, let's be a greater believer in the real deal. And that's the only way we'll discern the unreal deal. You know, do you have any money on you? Do you? Could I have some? Well, that's just pretty blunt, isn't it? $100 bill's fine. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Oh, 20. That's great. That'll work great. All right. Now, when they teach people how to detect, as far as I know, this is the real deal. This is real money. I mean, this is real money. When they teach people how to detect counterfeit money, what do? They don't teach them about the counterfeit. They teach them how to get so familiar with the real thing. So that the moment the unreal, the counterfeit comes, there's an immediate detection. That's not right. And that is what I'm concerned, that so many of us believers, we are not familiar enough with the real deal, the Holy Spirit, to when the unholy spirits come, there is no discernment of what's right and what's wrong. What spirit is of God? There are a lot of spirits, but there's one Holy Spirit. And there's a reason why he is the Holy Spirit, because it is a life of holiness that will result in following the Holy Spirit. So God is calling us to get familiar with the real deal so that when the unreal deal comes, media detection, that's not right. That's not right. And that's where many people get sucked into the wrong doings, because we're not familiar enough, because we're somewhat scared of the Holy Spirit. We're afraid he's going to take us down the wrong road. And I'll tell you in a minute why. You are all my witnesses. I'm giving this back. Chew. My hands are clean. That's the last thing you need in the headlines of the paper. Preacher steals money in revival meetings. Anyway, hallelujah. So here, Simon. Here he was. But then verse 11. And to him they had regard, because of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries or magic. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. So here he was, thinking he was a great man of power of God, but he was not a believer yet. But now he gave his life to Christ. Look at this. Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip, wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem, they heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, in this passage, the Holy Ghost was given by the laying on of hands. That's what it says. I don't know if you have noticed or caught, but each night when I ask people to come up to pray with people, if your hands are clean and your heart is pure. And there's a reason why I say that. And I know that when you hear that, it's like, well, I'm not really worthy of that. Am I sure that's where I am? You know, by the grace of God, we can live there. But the reason I say that is the laying on of hands is not a light matter. You can pass things on by the laying on of hands, good or bad. And so a person who is living in hidden sin and has a dirty heart, but on the outward has no business coming and praying with people. Because it's only, it's not effective, it's not a light matter. That's why I say you have clean hands and a pure heart. And by the Spirit of God, every one of us can have clean hands and a pure heart where we can lay hands on people and pray over them. In this case, the Holy Spirit was given by the laying on of hands. I want to get real practical here. Back in the early 2000s, I don't think it was the first, but it was one of the first series of meetings that we ever had at a church. We were there a week, I think, and I remember driving away from that week, and I was just, you know, new in preaching and hadn't learned a lot of things, still haven't, I'm still learning. I remember sitting there driving in the wee hours of the morning, saying, Lord, what did I see there? Something that had deeply troubled. I had not seen that in another church prior to that. And I was like, Lord, what was that? And it was, I knew what I believed on what I'm talking about tonight with the filling of the Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. I knew what I'd experienced and all of that. But I saw something in this church that I was like, Lord, why is this? Here's what I saw. And here's this illustration is why I believe that so many of us are hesitant to fully embrace the power, the anointing, and the filling, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because of this reason. Could be other reasons as well, but I believe this is one of them. I saw in this church two groups of people. And the two groups were, I'm not sure how to describe it. I want to say conservative and liberal, but, you know, that's really an irrelevant term. You know, it's kind of like normal. What's normal? Sitting on a dryer, that's about it. Because what's normal for you may not be normal for me. But we use the terms conservative and liberal to help us to identify. But it's really an irrelevant term because, you know, maybe a like an Amish person would maybe look at me as a liberal and a Baptist would look at me as a conservative. So what am I? Born again child of God, by His grace, serving Him with all my heart, soul, and strength. That's who we are. But I'll use that to help us identify. And this has really nothing to do with who's sitting where. We didn't tip off the ushers now. This illustration is coming, so seat this person over here. Had nothing to do with that. But I saw two groups in this one congregation. And let's make this group from here on over, let's make those group the conservatives or the, I'll say the legalists. And we'll make this group over here the grace-only group. All right? And I saw this in this congregation. I've seen it some since, but not near in every congregation. But I saw this. I saw these two groups within one local body. And all of a sudden, in the wee hours of the morning, there was like lights began to go on. And I was like, I see it, Lord. I see it, Lord. I see why this group is where they are. And I see it why this group is where they are. which caused me to pray, to say, Lord, I want to know what it is to walk under the anointing and the influence of the Holy Spirit all the days of my life and keep me from either ditch. Here's what I saw. This group was overreacting to this group. Because this group had come out of this group. And they came out of a very controlled environment where everything that they lived up to that point, they were told what to wear, what not to wear, where to go, where not to go. I mean, they were under that controlled environment. So they come out from under that controlling thing, and they come over here, and I've dealt with many people over the years that are right. They don't know how to live under the Holy Spirit because nobody is telling them what to do. And before long, they're way off in left field, some not even on the ball field anymore. Saying, well, oh, I'm so free, I'm living under grace, I can do what I want to do, it doesn't matter. That's not Bible. Now, I'm grateful for the grace of God. Let me be quick to say, the grace of God does not give us the liberty to do what we want to do, but the power to do what we ought to do. Yeah. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know, the grace of God through the Holy Spirit empowers us to do what's right. Not a liberty to sin and do what we want to do because we're under grace. But I saw this where I can do what I want to do. It doesn't matter. I'm under grace, which made this group overreact to that. And because of what they see there, they're like, I'm going to become more dogmatic, controlling, domineering, and hard, and everything else. So we have the two groups overreacting to each other. This group overreacting to this group. This group overreacting to this group. That's where a lot of people are at. And I remember that night, I said, Lord, I don't want to be on either side. Teach me. What it is to walk under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm still praying that prayer. As I share these closing experiences, I want to say this. Never seek an experience. Never seek an experience. Seek the heart of God and let Him choose your experience. Because yours might be different than mine. Mine might be different than yours. We're not here to see. You know, somebody says, well, if you don't this and you don't this, you don't got it. Woe unto them. You seek the heart of God and you let Him choose your experience. I know when I first got saved. My wife and I, girlfriend at that time, when we gave our life to the Lord, and she was working over there at their Dutchman, Walnut Creek, and this 70-some-year-old gentleman would come in there. He was a regular customer, and after Ruth Ann gave her life to the Lord, he saw that the change in her, the glow of her face. She's still glowing today. But he saw the glow in her face and just the change. And so naturally he was born again, filled with the Spirit. He notices this, and so he starts asking her, what happened to you? Of course, she didn't hesitate to tell him what happened to her. So he starts talking to her about what I'm talking to you about tonight. Filling of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. She came home. She brought it to me. She said, honey, what do you think about this? Now, I hadn't read Acts yet. I wasn't sure about this. I was very skeptical. I was like, be careful, you know. Let's be careful about this stuff, you know, and let's not get sidetracked and all that kind of stuff. And I was very skeptical. And he was very kind, just a godly old man. And then one night he asked if he could stop in and at our house. We were living right just a few houses down from the restaurant. Could he stop in and pray over us? And we gave him permission to do it. And I remember I was new in the Lord and I was like, Lord, I don't know about all this, but I know who I am in you. And if there's more to what I have than what I got, I'm open. But just guard me from anything that is not of you. That was my prayer. Just guard me from anything that is not of you. That was my prayer. This man stopped in. He talked to us about these scriptures and was just very kind, easy, gentle, spirit-filled. I mean, I was just drawn to the Lord through his life. We knelt there on the floor and he laid hands on us and prayed over us and everything was fine. I mean, nothing happened supernaturally that I felt. It was just like, this was great. God bless you. Thank you for stopping. And I love when spirit-filled people pray over me. I welcome that. I'll never forget back in 2011 where we were having tent meetings in northern Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and we had a couple brothers from Africa that were here, and one of them preached. We had him preach one night, and after the invitation, after the altar call, and people were kind of dispersed, and I was down front there, and I just felt led. I just knelt at one of the benches, and I was just in prayer before the Lord, and it was one of those moments, and whew, I get all glory bumpy just telling you this. But I remember just kneeling there, and I wasn't seeking other than just God. I'm just fresh and anew. I'm surrendering my life to you. Lord, fill me, anoint me. And I was just there praying, and this brother from Africa, Pastor Stephen, spirit-filled, godly man, he just, and I didn't even know who it was. Honestly, didn't. But all of a sudden, I felt a hand on my shoulder, and I heard somebody praying. I didn't know it was him right at the start, but I knew whoever it was had a connection with heaven. Because something happened that night in my heart that I've never forgotten. Never forgotten. And I've had similar experiences since. May not just happen one time. But I remember this old man as he left and he prayed over us and he left and we were just seeking the Lord. We said, Lord, guard us from anything that is not of you. I'm just going to tell you what happened. Weeks later, and I lose track of exact timings, but weeks later, it was one Sunday afternoon. My wife and I had come home from church. We ate lunch, didn't have any children yet, and we were laying down for a Sunday afternoon nap, and we were in the bedroom there, and I was kind of half dozed off. Now, up to that point in my Christian life, I had experiences of an evil presence that I literally had to pray off, like almost to the point of choking and where I had to pray off and in the name of Jesus and those. So I knew what that was like. I knew what that was like. But this day, there was something different. I don't know how else to describe it other than all of a sudden that afternoon, I'll just call it a mighty rushing wind. It wasn't something I felt tangibly, but just there was a mighty rushing wind that came through that bedroom. And it was one of those moments. Now, in this case, I was horizontal, but it was one of those moments where it was just like, whoosh. I don't know how else to describe it. And I just went, ugh. And my wife goes, honey, what's wrong? And I said, honey, it's not what's wrong, it's what's right. Because I knew this was right. This was right. It was right. And it was a moment with God that I have never forgotten. And I don't go back to that and say, if you don't have that, you ain't got it. No, no, no. Your experience may not be that. All I was doing is praying and saying, Lord, I'm yours. I'm surrendered to you. Fill me, anoint me, use me. My wife and I, we kind of have this joke. She said, what she's asking for, I get. You know what I tell her? The Lord knew that I was so ignorant that I needed it more than she did. That's what I tell her. But really, I mean, it was a mighty rushing wind that came through that bedroom that day. A few years ago in Africa, where I think I referred to it maybe the other, was it yesterday morning or last night, or I lose track of what's what, but remember that Pastor Ben, did I use that illustration here about Pastor Ben praying in the suit and tie out in the dirt in the prison? That very same service, where we would get there to that prison, and it's so different than America. You know, here in America, you get there, you check in, and you get through there, and you go back, and you set up here. You go in the OIC's office, officer in charge. You go into his office. The servants, they bring chairs out. You sit down. You have introduction. This may be an hour process just to get acquainted. Well, as we get into OIC's office, he sits down, all decked out, uniform decked out, and he tells us, I'm so-and-so, I'm a born-again Christian, and I'm an interpreter. There we do all our preaching through interpretation. And that's how he introduced himself. And we said, great, God bless you, good to meet you. And we had a conversation there, and finally we get back, we set up, did some singing, I began to preach. The interpreter who was with me a week before in the open air meetings, he was there, so we knew each other. Naturally, he grabbed the microphone, I start preaching, he starts interpreting. So we were about 5-10 minutes into it, and just getting wound up, right? And all of a sudden, he was about 6 or 8 feet over from me, and I looked over, and I saw him looking back, and our staff were sitting about 10 feet behind us, and here comes this officer in charge, walking out to him. Well, my first thought was, in America, if an OIC comes out, or a warden as we call them, in the middle of a service, that means trouble. You're going to shut things down. That was my first thought. And so he goes over, and he stood beside him, he whispered in his ear, and then about 10 seconds later, my current interpreter turns around, walks back. There stands the OIC with the microphone smiling at me. I remembered, oh, interpreter. So he came walking over to me, and I said, are you going to interpret? He said, yes, sir. Then he came over to me, and he did this. He whispered in my ear. He said, I'm telling you this story to tell you this. Here's what he said. I want the anointing. I want the anointing. I had the message on my mind. I didn't think much about it. We preached and God moved. God moved that day. There were so many inmates, not only came forward, but brokenness. There was the presence of God. That all happened right prior to this Pastor Ben's prayer that I talked about yesterday. There was an anointing in that place and an outpouring of heaven in that place, because here's what happened. Those inmates saw their man in charge of them give himself under the anointing. And I believe that's what broke their heart. And I'm saying this to say this. Here was a man that welcomed that in his life. As we were driving down the road, and I was reflecting back, and all of a sudden the thought hit me, I want the anointing. What did he mean? And I came to this conclusion that there was a man who understood what it is to give himself under the anointing. He was not scared of it. He was fully embracing it. And that results in an effective Christian life. He welcomed it in his life. The Florida prison crusade a year or two ago, I remember there at the rally. Some of you may have been there over the years, but I remember at the rally there, and I don't remember if I was preaching or what, but I remember I was up front during the invitation. And I remember as people were coming forward and music was playing, and I wasn't watching. I will often, even like these nights, I don't look who's coming. I'm down here praying for my own heart and what God is doing in my own heart. And that night, I just remember that I was standing there. I was just standing there like this, just with my hands out, hosting the presence of God. And all of a sudden, time was going on, and this went on for a minute or two, and all of a sudden, and I'm just going to tell you what happened. I mean, I sensed the absolute anointing and power of God in my hands. I felt it. And I was like, Lord, this is great. This is just wonderful. I was there being very selfish with it. And just, yes, Lord, minister to my heart, minister to my heart. And then I heard the still small voice say, now, I want you to go lay hands on somebody and release that. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, I was scared. That is stretching for me. Because I'm like, you know, Lord, I don't know, am I hearing from you? Am I hearing right? Is this really true? Is this really? Well, it's biblical. And I was like, but who? I opened my eyes. And there were people all over the front, and there was others who were coming and praying over people and like that. But there were two young ladies that were right, the moment I opened my eyes went right there. It was just to the right of the pulpit. Two young ladies that had nobody praying with them, and one of them was my own daughter, my oldest daughter. The Lord said right there, those two. And again, when I say the Lord said, this is just what I sensed in my spirit in that still small voice of just discerning what is going on. I sensed a leading there. And, you know, I was like, Lord, as I was walking over toward them, I said, Lord, would you help me to pray in the spirit? And just, I don't know where they're at. I don't know what's going on. But Lord, just lead me in the prayer. And I just went down right above them. Just, I don't know if I touched them real lightly or whatever, but just there. And I began to pray. And the Lord led me to pray. Lord, would you bring these two young ladies just to a new level of brokenness? And the moment I mentioned the word brokenness, both of them just wept and wept and wept. After the service, my daughter came out to the bus and she said, Dad, you had no idea, but both of us were asking God to just break us and use us in a greater way this weekend. I said, Lord, just help me to know how to walk in the Spirit that way. Just help me. Now, there's times when we may blow it. It may not always turn out that way. But I'll close with this. And then we're going to give an invitation to just open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. But when I was 13 or 14 years old, right as I was getting introduced to drugs and alcohol, and I see Brother Eli sitting here tonight, I know he knew how I used to live. But right as I was getting exposed to drugs and alcohol, I would go to bed at night, and I would lay there, and my room is laid out in such a way that I'd look across the room, and there was a window right in line with my bed. And I would wake up at night, middle of the night. Now, this is an Amish farm, so there is no security lights. Like, it's pitch dark outside. No night lights, no nothing. And I would open my eyes, and across the room in this window was lit up. I mean, it was like fluorescent. It was like LED. I mean, it was bright. Middle of the night used to just scare me stiff. I didn't know. I'd pull the covers over my head and try to put myself to sleep, and I'd peek out, and there it was again. And then all of a sudden it quit. I'd sleep. And this went on for a couple of weeks, not every night, but periodically through a couple week period, where this would happen. And then I took the wrong road for many years, down a path that I regret, but again, I'm glad that God doesn't hold our past against us. And then after I gave my life to Christ, my girlfriend gave her life to Christ, we get married. It was in our first year of marriage, our second year of Christianity. And it was right as we were learning some of these principles. And I was in prayer. I was saying, Lord, help me to not be scared of the Holy Spirit, but help me to not be sidetracked. And I knew what I had believed. I knew what I'd experienced at that point. And then one night, on a Saturday night, we went out to eat, Dover, Ohio there. And I remember driving back State Route 39, somewhere on 39 it was, between Dover and Sugar Creek or Walnut Creek, somewhere in there. And my wife and I were reminiscing. We were just like, Lord, this is such a great life. New life in Christ, newly married. It was wonderful. And then all of a sudden, just as we were talking about this and our new life in Christ, and all of a sudden there was just like the heavens opened. And there was a holy anointing that came into that car. And I was like, Lord, what is this? And immediately, remember the Holy Spirit brings all things to remembrance? Immediately, the Lord took me back to the bright light in the window.
8, 9 years before, to the bright light in the window. And the moment I saw the bright light, I knew exactly what was going on. And it was such a holy presence in that car that my wife looked over and said, "Honey, what do we do? What's going on?" I said, "I'm not sure. You just wanted to take your shoes off." And I had not told anybody this ever in my life till that night. I said, "Honey, here's the revelation. When I was 13, 14 years old, this bright light in the window, the Lord is giving me this picture right now. Never told anybody. But tonight the revelation was, that was the light of the Holy Spirit drawing me. And at that point in my life, I was scared. Nope, not going to embrace it. Took me down the wrong road for many years. About 8 or 9 years of ungodly living, unholy living. But I thank God that night that He revealed to me, I don't need to be scared anymore. That night, that presence and that light was welcomed in my life. And I embrace it. And I embrace it to this day. Tonight, the invitation is this. Lord, I'm just coming. If there's any hesitation, has been any hesitation in my life of fully embracing the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, whatever we want to call it. If there's been any hesitation anywhere, maybe we've resisted it because of what we have seen in people who have professed to be filled but have their lifestyle did not match up. Let's not compare ourselves among ourselves, but we just simply come and say, "Oh God, I fully embrace the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit." That's the invitation tonight. Can we stand together tonight? And just stand together tonight. And I believe there are many here tonight who have embraced the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And if you have and you're at peace with God, hallelujah, glory to God. Maybe tonight there are those here who just need to come and say, "Oh God, maybe there's been areas where we've not had victory, where we've not been playing offense, but Lord, only defense. And Lord, tonight I come in just an act of surrender, an act of humility, and saying, oh God, fill me. Lord, fill me afresh and anew. Anoint me tonight. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I throw my life at your feet tonight. Throw my life at your feet tonight. And Lord, would your anointing come upon me where, Lord, there's discernment of what's good and what's evil, where I become so familiar with the real thing. Lord, I want a fresh touch of you tonight. Lord, break my heart with what breaks your heart." And tonight, if you're here and you sense the drawing of the Spirit, just asking you just to come and kneel, just to come and say, "Oh God, no longer am I hesitant to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the filling, the anointing, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm coming to say, oh God, my life is in your hands. Fill me, oh God, and use me." If that's your heart tonight, just step out and come. Thank you, Jesus. Just mind the Lord tonight.